All right, so we'll call the meeting to order, and I'll ask for the roll call.
Tom Vetlak. David Byers.
Here.
Eddie Cook.
Here.
Peter Graves.
Here.
Dan Mazzola.
Here.
Michael Pollocky. Morgan Reed.
Here.
David Stevens.
Here.
J.R. Sloan.
Here.
Senator John, Don Shooter. Richard Stepniak.
Rebecca Provera here for Richard.
Thank you. Representative David Stevens. Michael Jeans.
Here.
We have a call.
All right. First order of business is follow-up. Well, not any notes of news. I didn't get any notes from anybody from the last meeting, so nothing to cover on that page. I also did not receive any comments from anyone on the meeting minutes, but I'm hoping the folks had a chance to review those. And if yes, then we'll entertain a motion to accept those meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
So let's vote to approve the meeting minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, unanimously carried. With that, we'll move on to our first order of business, which is a presentation by the Department of Health Services, and hand it over to James and Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is James Dean. I'm one of the AUA Asset Strategic IT Program Managers who assisted the Arizona Department of Health Services with this pitch. I'll let the individuals from DHS introduce themselves to my right.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Paula Mattingly, Assistant Director and Chief Information Officer.
Well, I'm Sheila Scholander. I'm an Assistant Director for Public Health Prevention Services.
Good afternoon. I'm Cindy Smith, the Chief Financial Officer and Assistant Director.
In April 2015, Asset approved a pre-pitch for DHS to issue a request for proposal and evaluate options to replace the existing WIC process and system that participants use to a more modern system and approach. So the current process is manual, unfriendly, and requires extensive effort on both the part of the issuing local agency and its participants. DHS has completed the evaluation and the assessment of the solicitation and is now ready to award. So currently this is an active solicitation. So the values listed are as ranges for anything that would pertaining to the actual cost for the selected vendor. So no vendor is identified within the lines of the procurement rules. So as questions are asked and answered, depending upon what they are, we'll have to stay in line with procurement. And then if there is any additional questions that require more detail, the option to go to executive session is always on the table. But with that, Asset is recommending the pitch be approved with conditions, which we can go over after the presentation. But for now, I'll turn it over to DHS at this time to provide the presentation and the additional information.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, we're quite pleased to be able to present to you the WIC program's EBT project. It really is a significant improvement in customer service, not just for the 153,000 people a month we serve through the WIC program, but also over 600 vendors, grocery stores, and other retailers that sell the WIC-approved foods. We think it'll be an enormous customer improvement experience for them as well. So I'm going to start just by giving you an overview of the WIC program. WIC stands for Women, Infants, and Children's Program. It's a federally funded program. It's been around since the 1970s. Its purpose is to really improve children's health by supporting the nutritional needs of pregnant women, breastfeeding women, young children up to the age of 5. So it does serve lower income women up to the 185% of the federal poverty level. The services it provides are nutrition education. It's first and foremost a nutrition program. In addition, the WIC participants do receive it's a customized food package. So there are a menu of options of healthy foods available to WIC participants. So the WIC workers across the state will meet with the WIC participant and assess their nutritional needs and the goals they have for their family and develop a plan and kind of prescribe specific foods to be included in their WIC package. the people who actually provide the services to the WIC participants are primarily county health departments and community health centers. We have contracted out services to 21 local agencies, so they're providing the eligibility certifications for our WIC clients and working with them to develop their specific plans and their food packages. In addition, as I mentioned, we have over 600 grocery stores and other vendors that sell the WIC-approved products. So the business problem, or the reason why we're here today, really there's significant room for improvement in how the purchases are done at the grocery stores. So I have given you a copy of the WIC ID folder that each WIC participant will bring to the grocery store with them. It gives you just a really nice visual so you kind of understand the experience at the grocery store. So what will happen is, as the each participant will receive these paper vouchers, which will have certain food items on them. And typically, a WIC participant may have multiple vouchers, and there's lots of different reasons for this. But what happens is, when they go to a grocery store to purchase their WIC foods, they have to purchase everything that's on their particular voucher. If they don't, for whatever reasons, like the food may not be the food they want, or that's identified on here is out of stock for some reason, they have lost that benefit essentially, because it's a one-time use of the voucher. So that's one of the issues. Certainly, most of us, when we go grocery shopping, certainly some of us go to multiple stores to buy the foods that we want, and that's not as practical the way we're currently doing things in the WIC program. So some other issues and challenges that we faced is there's no way of replacing the lost or stolen food vouchers. So we, when we meet with the WIC participants, we make sure they understand that they should treat these like cash. And just the transaction process that occurs at the grocery stores, you can imagine. So what happens, and I'm sure that you've probably all been in checkout lines when a WIC participant is purchasing their food. So what happens is, they have to segregate their WIC purchases from other foods they might be buying during that purchase. The cashier has to check to make sure that the items before them match up with the list that's on the voucher. They have to date, put the dollar amount on the voucher, and make sure the client's signature matches what's on the back of the ID folder. So there's a lot of room for human error. So one of the things that happens in the WIC program is, if those vouchers are not completed correctly, then the vendors, the grocery stores, experience return check fees and issues like that. So there's lots of issues with the process at the grocery store. So at best it's a bit clumsy, but at worst it can be stigmatizing for clients, and we all know that it takes longer to get through the transactions during at the grocery stores. So a couple of other problems or challenges are the printers that have to be used in each of the over 100 clinics, WIC clinics throughout the states. Each of them have to have the special printers to print the vouchers, and if those break down, there's maintenance and repair costs, as well as if there's not an additional printer in that WIC clinic, that particular participant, those participants won't get their vouchers that day. Just a couple of other things to consider is that With the paper voucher system that we've been using, we have very limited data that we collect from these. We know the total dollar amount and the dates purchased, but we don't have a lot of information about the particular foods, the specific foods that people are buying. And this will be really helpful to have more detailed information because it really will bolster our cost containment efforts as well as our fraud and detection efforts. And last but not least, we have a federal mandate to, as every state in the nation does, to implement the EBT process by October of 2020. I'm going to turn it over to Paula.
So our solution, we did some evaluation feasibility studies, and we've selected the online WIC EBT technology with a magnetic stripe card as the approach we wanted to select. The other type of program is what's called a smart card, and the difference between the two, the magnetic stripe card basically is a card that'll communicate with a server that has your food benefit information online to process the transaction. What a smart card does is it contains your benefits on that actual card. And so there were some differences. There was a study done to kind of walk through which was most preferred against some criteria, costs, and things like that, and we selected the online process. So based on what Sheila said about how a food package is given to somebody, it's different than like the SNAP, just put money on a card. So you actually put all the food benefits for a family, goes as a package on your card. And so some of the benefits to that is, like Sheila said, once you redeem your voucher, you can't get anything else that was on there because the voucher's gone. So you can get the benefits more easily. You can go to multiple stores. It's just basically keeping a list that it's coming off as you purchase things. So, and it's also with the stigma deal, it's more like, you're running your debit card or your credit card. It's not as obvious to people that you're a WIC shopper.
Can we ask questions?
Yep.
I'm curious, the outline makes evident sense, but with the whole world moving to the away from the strip cards to a chip embedded card, was that an issue? Because there's a lot of problems with security on the swipe cards. Did that come up in your procurement or in your consideration?
Not really, and I think that technology's kind of come up through the last few years, and this feasibilities in our studies, really the planning has started probably a couple years ago with all the hoops we go through with federal planning documents and things like that. That chip technology is different though than the smart card.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't realize that.
Okay.
So I get that, but I'm just wondering if you're going to wind up implementing something that's kind of going out anyway. So you still have it online, but should it be a swipe technology or should it be a chip technology for the security purposes?
Yes, we can relook at that. I just think we haven't looked at that today just because, like I said, it was a couple years ago when we started that process.
If I can follow up on that, I guess I had a similar question in that as stores start moving away from swipe cards and the devices that take swipe cards, will you be implementing a program that will have a card that those stores can't read because they no longer have the device because all they take is the chip card?
Right. No, we have to consider all that. So our approach in looking at what a lot of other states have done, I think part of the good news of this is we're not the bleeding edge. There are some states that have implemented EBT and are successful in its operation. So we've used some of the lessons learned. We've decided we want to procure a WIC EBT contractor that will provide the transaction processing services versus trying to do any of that on our own. And then we'll also procure a quality assurance contractor for oversight because the project is over the $5 million threshold.
I
So the development process is going to basically encompass three major areas. The first area is HANS, which is our WIC certification and benefit issuance application. So there needs to be some changes made to that around how food packages are made and to the base tables. Some work to be able to deal with UPC codes and some new things that the EBT introduces. And then we'll have to participate in interface testing with both the WIC EBT system and vendors. So there's really the three components that are going to need to be kind of completed together. The WIC EBT system itself is what they call FNS certified, so it's already a tried and true application working in other states that meets the requirements, the federal requirements. So the work to be done, again, would be to configure local test environments and to work test the HANS interface and then work with vendors. Vendors have one of two types of cash register systems. They either have the integrated cash register system that is already handling card processing as a full point-of-sale system solution, and then there's what's called non-integrated vendors, which we will be providing standard stand-beside solution for to process these cards. Preparation activities. Local agencies are going to have the new PIN terminals to be able to issue cards and set PINs. They're going to need the EBT cards themselves. They're going to need the new packages, food list materials, things like that to get ready for. We're going to build a UPC database of WIC items that are their approved foods, and that's what the EBT system will go against to ensure that you're purchasing something that's covered by WIC. Training, basically kind of a train-the-trainer approach, but state WIC personnel will get trained. They'll help train local agencies. They'll help train vendors, and then local agencies will help to train participants. There's a couple ways we're going to provide support. There's currently a WIC service desk, which is open major business hours, Monday through Friday, and some Saturday hours. But there's also going to be a 24/7/365 customer service center provided by the EBT contractor that will be able to assist people. The implementation approach is going to be to pilot initially in Casa Grande. We chose this because it's a nice representative number of participants, but not that many. There's a mix of types of grocery stores and vendors there, and the majority of their food vouchers that are issued in that location are redeemed in that location. So we thought that was the best place to start. So what we'll do there is provide additional support personnel to be kind of hands-on, making sure the implementation is going smoothly. And there'll be a set of criteria of looking at any issues and resolutions and things to determine when we're ready to go to statewide rollout. We anticipate that pilot will take about 90 days. And then when that's successfully completed, we'll go with a statewide rollout by local agency across the state, which is how we rolled out the new HANS product about a year ago, and that worked pretty well. We talked about the Big Bang approach, and that, I guess, depending on how the pilot goes, that may be something that's feasible, but we just anticipate that there might be a need for higher touch and more people involved, and we can't support the whole state at one time if that's the case. So we're thinking statewide rollout phased would be our approach. At a high level, here's the major project milestones. It's about a two-year project encompassing the three pieces, the integration, the pilot, and then the statewide rollout. Cindy's going to talk about the money.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, one of the nice things about this project is it is 100% federally funded. So it's, we're estimating about $9.5 million to $10.2 million. Of that, operational costs ongoing 3.4, but the development costs being the majority of the project at between 6.1 and 6.8 million. There we go. Okay, so on the development costs, the breakdown of that 6.1 million to 6.8, about 11,000 of that will be licensing and maintenance. 48,000 would include the software. Majority of the software is going to be that UPC collection software. Hardware, 228,000, that's going to be the PIN terminals at the clinics. It includes the vendor stand beside models, again, as well as the hardware for the UPC collection. Other costs, $357,000, that's the integrated software development with the hands. There's some travel that's involved in the implementation of this, and then printing services. And then the majority of that being professional and outside services. That's the EBT system design development and implementation, the QA oversight role, the hands modifications, the WIC EBT card design, UPC collection software, and so forth. So the bulk of the project certainly is in the professional and outside service. On the operation costs, 3.4 million, that breaks down to, again, licensing and maintenance, hardware as equipment needs replacement. We've built in a replacement plan on the hardware. Other consists of custom card sleeves that might be developed in the project, any future appointments or program type information that has to be developed, and then to sustain the project, the professional outside services of 2.8 million. Any questions on the financial side of the project?
I guess I'm curious, the EBT online product doesn't exist. It's got to be built. Is that what you're saying with all those professional services?
No, it exists. There is some work planned to review the product as it exists to make sure that's going to work. And to if there are any changes that need to be made, that's included. But the product itself has been implemented in several states.
You're talking about the software itself for the electronic benefits?
Well, your professional services were, you know, millions of dollars. I'm just trying to figure out now exactly again what are you spending, what are you spending $5 million?
Well, part of it is to modify the hands application, which is the WIC certification and issuance package. So there's some changes that need to be made there. For example, the way food benefits work today, you get benefits by a person in your family on a voucher. They're going to roll that up into a family to be put on a card. So there's some differences in the way the functionality is going to work that's going to have to be modified within our application. And then, like I said, there'll be some design sessions held with the product for the WIC EBT. But then there's all the integrations of our app to their app to the vendor, and then all that testing.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm assuming there's multiple vendors that provide this level of expertise. How many vendors are we, and make up that mix?
Is it three, Young? Three. Yeah, it's still been pretty specialized.
Sure. Very narrow focused.
And actually, I think that one of the current vendors is working their way out of the market. There's three that are kind of viable today.
And as it relates to these two or three vendors, their long-term viability as it relates to, I don't know, how many years this program is in place.
Yeah.
So they have a good financial longevity background.
Yeah. Young, can you respond to that?
In the RFP for the WikiBD contractor, some of the criteria was for company history and personnel, and certainly like we evaluated like companies' like viability and their past experiences with working with other states.
Well, every state's got to do this by 2020, so they're going to be viable through that date. My guess is most of them are going to go online. So somebody's going to be a winner here, one or both of them, and they're going to have a, who, when this is done in Arizona, do we run the online system, or is there some, a vendor in the cloud running it for us?
There's a transaction fee that we will pay, because they're going to be doing the processing. They do the processing both in their app and then with the banks.
All right, so the long time risk is that business goes bankrupt, and now what? Or goes out of the business. But if you have all 50 states, that looks like a very lucrative deal to be in on.
Yeah, if you're looking for a business to be in.
Yeah.
Well, that does lead us to one of our risks, the second risk there. There's going to be a large volume of states that need to go to EBT in a fairly short time frame. So, like Young said, we did some things in the RFP process, and we will in the contracting process to try to ensure that they're dedicating resources to our project and things like that. We think this is a good time to get going. We don't really think being on the tail end of getting to 2020 is a very good idea either. So it seems like we did look at all that with vendor responses that we got.
Let me ask you a question about maybe the proprietariness of the potential vendor. Again, I'm thinking this is, as you said, going across 50 states. Is there a common standard of the data itself in case one vendor were to, let's say, decide to fold up, that if we had to transfer it over, that it's, a common standard for another vendor to actually, absorb that information and move forward?
That's usually a relative comment, but yes, there is a federal standard that these vendors are following, and so to some extent, yes, that it would be similar. I can't answer to like which technology they use and things like that, but data is usually the biggest problem, and in general, that is standardized.
Paula, our team, is there any projected financial benefit to the state of Arizona? I realize it's federally funded, there's some great efficiencies and better customer service, but do you project any financial benefit to the state?
It's kind of a wash. If you add up all the costs of how we currently do the printing of things versus this technology, the banking fees, transaction fees, it's about the same.
One thing is the vendors will no longer have the return check fees, so that will be a great help to all of those grocery stores.
And like I said earlier, this has been implemented in some other states. I can remember, it must have been 5 years ago or more, I think it was the state of Ohio, went to EBT and they found it to be cost prohibitive to maintain and sustain, and they went back to voucher issuance. I think some of that was due to just the technologies weren't well developed, and it wasn't as commonplace. I think it was a kind of an expensive endeavor, and they ran into costs they didn't anticipate. But I think we've done a lot of work in the planning phase to kind of study all that. We feel pretty comfortable it's going to cost about the same.
But the program today is federally funded. So a financial impact to the state, there
isn't
any.
No, I'm just saying in terms of the services public, that you are online for, fraud, abuse, waste, prevention, those sorts of things, we have benefit towards that.
Yeah.
Are you in procurement now to pick that vendor? Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One thing, we of course, we have vendors like this, and we do things. One thing I'll just, and you probably have thought of this, but I'll just bring it up. Once you pick one and you do this, it's like a marriage. You're in for the long haul. And so I just encourage you to make sure that contract is renewable for as far as DOA will let you. I think it's 10 years. Because you'll try to lock in your price controls. Because what will happen once you've got this done, you go out to bid this again, the pain of picking another vendor and changing all this out was just too great. So the one vendor has you over the barrel, and that they could raise those transaction fees. What are you going to do about it? You're not going to change. So one way is that the first opportunity is a way to lock those in or plan going forward, to me, for as long as you possibly can.
Right, that's a good point.
And I would also suggest, because of the change in technology that I mentioned earlier, that you might want to address that with the vendor. Should the stores or the people are purchasing no longer have devices that will read the cards that you're supplying to the customers, what do you do? And because that certainly is coming, whether it comes in 2018, 19, 20, or whatever, it is going to happen. Because you hear from vendors all the time that they're dealing, the banks are forcing them to go away from swipe cards.
Right. Yeah, a lot of that's outside of our control, but we need to be ready.
Right.
Let me just wrap up. So there's the second risk we talked about. The first risk is really just to do with the three moving parts, and the we're going to have to be, you know, kind of in lockstep. Each piece has to be finished before we can roll out. So we've done some things to make sure we've hired personnel with PBT experience. We've done a lot of work with best practices and lessons learned, and just strong communication to our vendors that this is coming and the timing of this, et cetera, so that they're ready and not surprised. And I think that's it.
Does that time seem reasonable from other states, that 2-year time frame? Yes.
That's kind of what that was based on, yes. Other questions? Thank you.
Okay, if there are any further questions, we'll turn it back over to James and Jeff.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. So as noted in the action item, assets recommending the following conditions be applied to bid approval. So the first condition, prior to transmitting any state data between the vendor and the state, ADHS will provide information regarding security controls that will be implemented and work with ADOA assets to help ensure appropriate levels of protections are in place, including the completion of the baseline security checklist as required. That goes to state standards as well as for anything that's going to be vendor hosted. The second condition, which many people are aware of, through ITAC upon award, ADHS must notify ADOA asset and the Information Technology Authorization Committee via formal communication regarding the identity of the selected vendor and final proposed costs. That way everybody on this committee will know exactly the final costs as well as the vendor selected.
Any questions or comments on the conditions?
Chairman, I move approval of the project with the conditions recommended.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, our next meeting is scheduled for February 24th. And we have no further business for today. Thank you, everybody.
How are you doing?
Thank you.
All right.
That's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, this time frame, we're talking about a decade.